Now we're on chapter 9. We're going to go back to the middle of chapter 8 for a minute. How are you? Okay. The last we learned, we got to run through it because we got to finish the Megillah. What page are you on, Bradley?
1215.
I have no idea what page you're on. Oh, what page are you on? 1258? Chapter 8?
Chapter 8,
1258. Okay. Verse 9. So now the problem is resolved. They solved the problem. The Jewish people can defend themselves. What I want to do today is talk about broader themes that appear in the Megillah that you might not recognize, that you might not notice. And those broader themes are going to lead us from Purim to Pesach. Because obviously the themes of Pesach are redemption, the creation of a Jewish people, and ultimately with the goal of leading towards the giving of the Torah. But the question is, do we see those themes in Purim, and specifically in Megillah? And obviously my answer is,
yes.
We do. How did you know? Okay. But the question is, where do those themes appear? And how strong are they? And the answer is, they're right beneath the surface, and they appear a lot, as we'll soon see. If you know where to look for them, so Mordechai and Esther, when they were writing the Megillah of Esther, they had to hide it so that Ahasuerus, the dolt, would be able to read it and say, great story, honey, nice job, but not understand that deeper beneath the surface, they were communicating critically important messages to the Jewish people. When we started the Megillah, if you recall, you might have noticed that the Jewish people, we quoted a midrash that asked, why did this thing happen to the Jewish people in the first place? And then remember the midrash says, why did the whole Purim story happen? Why did the Jewish people deserve to be destroyed?
They were so far gone. They were so way off the path.
Assimilation.
But why were they assimilated? What was the manifestation, the ultimate manifestation of their assimilation? You want to remember? What was the symbol?
They ate from the tail.
You weren't even in the class. Very good. The Gemara says, in the language of the Gemara, because they participated in Ahasuerus' party. Right? They were totally assimilated. Why? Remember why we discussed? Why were they assimilated? Why did they decide, forget it? Why had they abandoned their faith and really the Jewish people?
The temple was destroyed.
No temple. The model was gone. No, temple was destroyed. No land. No temple. No people. If you took the Greek people and you destroyed, or took the Italian people, you destroyed Italy and you dispersed the Italians throughout the diaspora. Right? How long would the Italian people last?
Without a pope, not very long.
Right. Well, forget the pope.
As long as the mafia is there.
They'd be eating spaghetti. We'd all have pizza. But you wouldn't have an Italian people much longer. Right? So what were the Jews? Exactly the same thing. The Jews served Knedlach, and they had a little say, and they had a seder. But, they had a seder at a treif restaurant. Why? Because, the seder was just, it was culture.
People still do.
Yeah, tell me about it. I know. So what did Mordechai and Esther really accomplish? So they saved the Jewish people from salvation. But what did they really accomplish? Did they solve, in order to prevent another calamity, another destruction, who says that another Haman is not going to come by 2 years later? Or 20 years later? In order to do that, you have to solve the underlying problem, the great assimilation problem. How do you do that?
Send them to day school.
Yeah.
But they at least got everybody together the 3 days of fasting and prayer.
Okay.
Setting an example, and then they overcame.
Overcame what?
They
What was the problem they have to overcome?
Their death. They were able to defend themselves.
No, that's not the problem. Again, what's the problem they have to overcome?
Assimilation.
What's the root of the assimilation?
That they were so dispersed that nobody was there as a role model.
The mentality, the root of the assimilation was the mentality that without a temple and without Jerusalem,
there's no Judaism. But with prayer and Shuvah.
Okay, that's one, right. I'm sorry, Dina, you were going to say something?
That's right.
You're going to say. Okay, so let's see if we can find that. So what does Mordechai do? When he sends the letters out to the Jewish people, he sends the letters that you can defend yourself. Pasuk Tes, Vayikaru Sofrei HaMelech Ba'Eisahi. The scribes of the king were called, Vachodesh HaShlishi U'Chodesh Sivan. Remember, we said it was 3 months later. Bishloshav Esrim Bo, 23rd day. Vayikatev Kochol Asher Tziva Mordechai El HaYehudim. So he wrote, they wrote all the stuff Mordechai commanded them. Ve'el HaChashkar Penim Ve'apachot Ve'sarei HaMedinot, all the ministers and princes. Asher Mehodu Ve'akush Sheva Ve'esrimu Me'yam Medina. 127 countries. Medina Medina Kichtava Ve'am Ve'am Kilshono. Right. Exactly like it was done before, like the first letters. Each country according to its language, and each nation according to its writing. But here we had something critically important. Ve'ala Yehudim kichtavam b'chilshona. And he also sent to the Jewish people in their language and in their writing. Why did he do that? Where did he send that to?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Every country got 2 letters. Every country in America, they got English. And they got, whatever, the Jewish language. Yiddish, I don't know.
Still Hebrew.
Hebrew.
Aramaic.
Aramaic. Probably Aramaic, actually.
No.
Yeah.
We'll learn our books in Hebrew.
Okay, but he wrote it. Okay. In Hebrew, letters.
Hebrew.
Okay, fine, in Hebrew. It's unclear which exactly what their language was, but okay. But that's critically important, because more than the message that you could save yourself, by sending them their own letter, wherever they were, Mordechai was sending them a message. Yes, there are 127 countries, but there's not 127 nations. There's 128 nations. That the Jewish people is a nation even though it doesn't have a land. And they're a religion even though it doesn't have a place. And even though it doesn't have a Beis Hamikdash. And that message was a critically important message to the Jewish people at the time. So it says, let's skip now, okay? So he sent out the letters, blah, blah, blah. Skip down to Tesh Zion. Tesh Zion, very interesting. I need to get out these sheets. Okay? Tesh Zion, so take one and pass it on. Okay? Tesh Zion says the Megillah La Yehudim Haita Ora. One, just. Oh, that's mine. It's just one, because there's 2 sides. La Yehudim Haita Ora Vishimcha Vishason Vikar. You all know that one. What does it mean? In simple understanding, it means to the Jews there was Ora, Vishimcha, light and happiness and rejoicing. Vikar. What is Vikar? Joy. It's a little weird to say it. Don't you think it's a little interesting? A little verbose. Did it ever catch you?
Yeah, well, yikar wouldn't it be like an essence? Like a...
Yikar is
precious.
It is. What does that mean? To the Jews, there was Ora, light, and joy, and rejoicing, the yikar. And how do you translate in the scroll?
Honor. Joy and honor.
Gladness, joy, and honor.
All right, sounds good. Listen, look at what Targum Unculus writes. The Targum is just the translation into the Aramaic. LeYehudai, to the Jews, source number one. Havas Rishusa LeMe'esak BeOraita. Anybody know what that means in Aramaic? To the Jews?
To have the right to involve themselves in Torah.
Good. Now the Jews had permission to engage in Torah. Ulamita Shabaya, Umodaya. To keep Shabbos and Moed and Yom Tov. Ulamigzar Urlat Binehun. And to circumcise their children. Ula Achata Tfilin al Yedehun va al Rashehun. La Yehudim Haita Ora Vishimcha Vishason Vikar does not mean they had a party. La Yehudim Haita Ora Vishimcha Vishason Vikar means they kept the Torah. They now were able to once again. The way he says that they had permission to. They're very powerful. You know, to take something, not sad at all, but the deeper meaning of it is the Jewish people now had permission to and a reason to again keep the Torah. Simple things. Shabbos. Mila. Learning Torah. Bris. Things you take for granted. But now they could do it again.
But those are also the things that keep the Jews together as a people. That's what keeps us so separate, and that's what keeps us so united.
It's interesting that they point out tefillin to a great degree. Yeah.
The word that bothers me, though, is reshut.
Reshuta.
They have permission. Now, what does it mean now they have permission?
It seems that the Unculus is translating that they were not able to beforehand.
They weren't able to because...
That there was some kind of persecution. That's what it sounds like. Doesn't it sound like that?
Well, didn't Haman say that?
There's no record of Haman saying that they could not engage in religious,
whatever. Said that When Homan has said that these people are useless, they don't keep the...
Yeah, he kvetched about it.
Yeah,
he kvetched about it, but there's no indication that he did not permit them to do it.
Well, if you kvetch, it means that there's some...
All right. Okay.
Where does fire, you know?
Now, it's interesting to note, you might notice where you recognize that pasuk from. You know, you might have Simcha B'Samikar. Hainti Alanu. What in the world is that doing on Havdalah? If it's just about the Megillah, so don't get me wrong, Havdalah is fine, but is it this time of great rejoicing for the salvation of the Jewish people? No. It's Havdalah. Great. Start the new week. Move on. But if you understand, by Yehuda Haita over Simcha V'Sasson V'Yikar,
that's what you're involved in.
Right. The strength of the Jewish people, as you leave Shabbos, the strength of the Jewish people is in Torah and Shabbos and Yontif and Mila and Tefillin.
And that's a totally that we have the ability
that's
to
right.
do it.
Totally different meaning.
Why didn't they mention kashrus?
I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know. Those are the things, though. It's interesting. Those are the things, though, when the non-Jews prohibited things. They prohibit, I mean, you know, you talk about the Greeks, you know, and the Syria Greeks, when the times of Hanukkah, they prohibited circumcision, they prohibited learning Torah, and they prohibited Shabbos. Those are three out of the four on this list.
Really? Also, if you want the parallel to Pesach, Shabbos, when we make Kiddush, it's Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim.
Okay.
And here, it's Havdalah is Zecher to, like, Hulim HaSar Simcha.
With Purim. Interesting. Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yom Tov. Tefillin is also Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay. So, go back one pasuk, Tesvav. One verse in Ches. Mordechai yatzav lifnei hamelech b'levush malchus. He wore levush malchus, the garments of the king. Cheles v'chur, purple and chur is but brown. Ateres zahav gedola, a golden crown. V'tachrich butz v'argaman. Translate.
Argaman is purple.
Fine linen and purple.
V'ha'ir shushan tzahala v'samecha. And the Shushan city rejoiced and was happy. Look at the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. The Gaon Rabbeinu Eliyahu says, what does it mean that Mordechai was wearing Levush Malchus? Levush Malchus, what is Levush Malchus? How does a Jew dress? Levush Malchus means the royal clothing. So who is the Melech always in the Megillah?
God.
What does God want a Jew to wear? Says the Vilna Gaon. Levush Malchus, Pirush. Talis shel mitzvah. Kamo she'amru b'Zohar atifa de malchuta. The Zohar calls a talis atifa. Atifa means wrapping de malchuta of the king. That's why you'll notice when you put on your talis, first you put on your talis, you do atifa, you wrap yourself. That's the real mitzvah of putting on a talis. You don't just wear it. First you have to do atifa. You wrap yourself, and then, you know, for a few seconds, and then you put it down. Tcheles, what's tcheles? Obviously. Tcheles shebetitzis. The chur, so what's the chur? Hu halavan shebetitzis, the white. Ateres zahav gedola, what's the golden crown? Tefillin sheberos. Tachrich butz, what are tachrichim? Wrappings. They're the ritzuas shekochim behem, wrapping the ritzuas. Argaman, what's argaman? Hein tefillah shel yad. Okay, he explains why. And then, what does it mean by Yehuda aita ora v'simcha? Hirush. Ki Yisrael tzrichim otot tamid. The Jewish people need otot. They need signs and symbols. V'hem os mila v'os tefillin. Right? Mila is an os. God calls it a symbol of the Jewish people's covenant. Tefillin is an os. V'torah hi amamutza. The Torah is the conduit. V'shabbos hi ba'atmo os. Shabbos is also an os, a symbol. You ever wonder why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos? We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos is because tefillin is an oath, says the Gemara, a sign. But Shabbos itself is a sign. When Jews keep the Shabbos, that's a sign of their dedication to God. So that's why you don't have to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So that's where we get this idea. That's why it says that the Jewish people in the Targum, where, you know, in the Targum it says they kept Shabbos and Yom Tov, all the things that were symbols of being Jewish. The Jewish people now, they return to their symbology. They return to their nationality. And what does it mean to be a Jew? Especially when you're in the exile, a Jew keeps the Torah. A Jew maintains the mitzvot. And those are the symbols that mark us as Jews. Because without those symbols, just like anybody else. Okay, let's move on. And all of that is in the Megillah, right there, if you're looking for it. And if you're not looking for it, the Jewish people had a party. Okay, test. So I got to fly because we're finishing this thing. Okay. Fast forward. 12 months, the month of Adar. Chapter 9. On the day that the enemies of the Jews, Shibru I think means plotted, I'm guessing plotted or planned, to rule them, everything's upside down. The Jewish people, the Hafochu means it was turned upside down, and the Jewish people ruled over their enemies, those they hated. The Jewish people gathered to strike those people who wanted to do evil to them. And nobody stood up to them. Why? Everybody was afraid of them. It's amazing, by the way, how mentality and attitude so much influences your ability to win. Listening, Lahavdil. Listening to Mitch album on the way here on the Sunday sports album, on the Monday sports album. So he's asking one of the ladies from Michigan State. So he said to her, you know, you're down by 16 points in the second half. You know, how did you come back? She said, oh, we knew that we had to play good defense and get stops and we would get our points. He said, did you wonder whether you could do it? And she said, not for a second. And you know why? Because if they did wonder if they could do it, they would not have done it. That's the absolute truth. You know, if you're not confident in your ability to win, you're done.
That was incredible.
You're done. What?
That was incredible.
Oh, I didn't watch it. Whatever. But,
I did.
Doctors will tell you, if you're not confident in your ability to do a procedure, get out. Because you can't do it. You know, there's too many things that can go wrong if you start thinking about it. It's like anything. So mentality is so interesting. The same people, they were cowering and going to be murdered. Now all of a sudden, they're out of the upper hand, and they're going to win. Okay. What does everybody do? They're minasim et hayudim. They raise up the Jewish people. Why? Because Mordechai, they're all afraid of them. They're all afraid of him. By the way, it's interesting to note. Remember we said at the end of the last chapter, what are all the nations of the world, what were they doing during this time? They're all trying to convert. Remember we said, you know, all these people are trying to convert. Why? Because they're afraid of the Jewish people. So it's ironic that at the beginning of the Megillah, the Jews don't even want to be Jewish. And by the end of the story, everybody wants to be Jewish. It's popular to be a Jew, right? Is that what it was? A lot of people wanted to convert in 67?
After the 16 war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those people who were reformed or who were unaffiliated, they all flocked to the synagogues. They all flocked. They wanted to be part of the Jewish nation.
Yeah.
They all flocked to Israel.
Okay. That's good. Mordechai was great. His name was big in the house of the king. And his shamo, his voice, I guess?
His name
went throughout all the nations. He got bigger and bigger. The Jews smote and destroyed. They did what they wanted to their enemies. Forget them. And in Shushan, they killed 500 people. Okay, and now, by the way, you might have noticed, interestingly enough, that the Chazon reads all of these things in one breath. That's a halacha. I don't really know why. Everybody know why? What?
It's
brought down the halacha, so we do it. I mean, you're certainly Yotze if he doesn't, but it's brought down. So I'll do that. They killed these 10 sons of Haman, and they didn't touch anybody else's stuff. Ask me a question.
I thought they killed 500
people. Right, killed 500 people, but they also killed these 10 guys.
And why? Why did they need to be killed?
10 sons of Haman?
Wait a minute.
Let's assume they can be killed. What?
Where is the land of Haman already given to Esther?
Mm-hmm.
So that
the house was given to Esther.
The house.
Yeah.
The property. So wouldn't that be the spoils? And did not lay your hands on the spoils?
I don't know. They didn't. They didn't drop plunder and pillage the rest of the. I don't know. I mean, it was at his house. They had their own houses. They probably lived separately. There's a glaring question here.
Weren't they killed with Hama?
No, only Hama got killed back
then. Why didn't they touch the spoils?
Why didn't they touch the spoils?
This is like Amalek, right?
Because we're not like them. Right. They were going to, the king said that they could touch the spoils. But the Jewish people felt, that's not what we're in it for. We're destroying our enemies, yes, but that's not the Jewish way. I mean, I think that's really why. The glaring question I have here is, who cares what their names are? All of a sudden, out of left field, out of nowhere, comes the Megillah and lists these 10 guys. By the way, does everybody know the discovery vort on these 10 people?
Well,
no?
I know of it.
You know of it?
Letters, but yeah. I don't remember what it was.
So the discovery, when you go to Esha Torah, you go to their discovery thing. So they're very much into the, like, you know, cool codes and things like that. So one of the things they show you is, you'll notice that in these letters, the 10 sons of Haman, there are 3 letters that are smaller than the others. What are they?
Tough.
Shin.
And the
Zion. Right. Yud. Tough Shin.
No,
is there Zion? I have
Zion. Yeah, Zion.
Yeah. But the Bob looks like
Zion.
It's a Zion. I think it's right, Zion. Okay. What's Tough Shin Zion? What is a Tough Shin Zion? Nobody ever knew what the Tough Shin Zion was. So in the after the end of World War II, they had these things called the Nuremberg trials, where they were prosecuting. Where they were prosecuting these Nazi war criminals. And there it turns out that there were 11 of them that they were prosecuting, and they convicted them, and they were going to kill them. So I think the night before, or sometime before, one of them, I don't know, Eichmann, or one of those guys, he committed suicide in his cell. And there were 10 of them left. And one of them, for some reason, before they killed him, before they hanged him, said, "It's Purim, 1947. Now, what's 1947? What do you do with that? They were making these letters small 1,000 years before 1947. What? What do you do with it? Let me put it this way. It's fun and cool. But don't believe in Judaism because of it.
No, but if you're already Jewish.
Yeah, if you're already Jewish. You're already into it. It's fine. You know, I said it about the codes also. The Bible codes. And
well,
the Bible codes are always fun, right? The only question is, they always find the Bible codes after the event. You know, how come you don't tell me beforehand? You know, you could have avoided it.
Everything ever was and everything that ever will be was already written in the Bible.
And what if I were to tell you that we know without a doubt that the Torah we have today is not identical to the letter, to the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave?
Oh, boy. No, there's a problem with the Bible code.
Ah, except the Gemara says that the Torah we have today is not identical to the one Moshe Rabbeinu gave. Why? The Gemara says, this is a well-known, the Gemara says that when the Jewish people went off the Derech, they were all assimilated, right? They all started worshipping idols. So there came a point where, it says it in the Navi, in the prophets, there came a point where they were so assimilated that they were cleaning out the Beis HaMikdash one day, and one of the Kohanim came across this scroll, and he didn't know what it was. So he took it to the prophet, and the prophet opened it up and said, "That's a Torah." And it just so happens that the Torah is rolled to the Tochacha, to the rebuke, that if you guys don't, you know, return to God, you're in big trouble. Big tshuva, mass tshuva movement, they all did, they were all the Bali tshuva, wonderful. So they didn't have Torahs. They didn't know what to do. They found 3 Torahs, but they were not identical. There were 2 changes in the Torahs. One, 2 of them had the version one way in one place, and the other one was different. And 2 of them had a letter one way in another place, and the other one was different. So what do they do?
What kind of letter are they talking about?
No, a change in the aleph or a bet or whatever. One letter off, you know, a simple, subtle change. I don't remember exactly what it was. What do they do? So they took the majority of each one. Meaning they followed the 2 in one, and they followed 2 in the other. Which means?
One of them's wrong.
That they did not follow either one, any of them. Correct. So what that means is that the Torah we have today, which is, we believe, a direct copy of those, must be subtly off from the Torah that God gave to Moshe, or Moshe wrote. So now what do you do with your Bible code?
Well,
fund.
What you say is, well, God must have intended that to happen. That's why the codes work. Okay. All right. Anyway, I have to share you the Tufshin Zion thing because it is too freaky. Okay.
Well, you know that
it's nifty stuff.
That one or two letters that's completely off in the entire Sefer Torah. That's the secret.
That's what makes it work, right? Because it wouldn't work otherwise.
That's the reason why we can't make it work for the future.
Probably would work for the future. I don't know. Who knows? Okay. So why in the world does a Megillah list these 10 guys? Who cares what their names are? Why is it important to us to note that we hung them to? Anyone?
Maybe they were important in their own
life. Ah, why? How? We don't hear anything about them. All of a sudden, they show up first now and never again.
Because they were a big Rashi.
They were. Look at Rashi. That's correct. I scanned in Rashi for you. Rashi has the same question. Who cares who these guys were? You know, they make it into Tanakh, and Gabe Kenningsburg doesn't. I mean, you know, come on. Asher b'nei Hamad, what?
Thank God.
Yeah. You can make it. Oh, no. Ra'iti b'seder olam. So he says, I saw in the Seder Olam. Seder Olam is a version of the Midrash. Elu Asara. These were the Jewish people. These were the 10 people, I'm sorry. Shekatvu shikna al Yehuda b'Yerushalayim. They wrote a decree on Judea and Jerusalem. K'mar shekatvu b'sefer Ezra. It's written in Ezra, U'malchus Achashverosh, in the times of Achashverosh, V'tchilat Malchuto, in the beginning of his decree, of his reign, Katvu Shitna al Yosei Yehuda Yerushalayim. They wrote this decree, this evil writing, document, against the dwellers of Yehuda Yerushalayim. U'mahu HaShitna, and what was their decree? Levatel Ha'olim Min HaGola B'Yinei Koresh. They wanted to do what they wanted to do is, the Jews already had wanted to return and rebuild the temple. So what did Haman's 10 sons do? They got together, they had a little meeting, and they made sure, no. No Jewish temple. They had started to build the Beit HaMikdash. The Kutim came and snitched on them. And they stopped them. When Ahasuerush took over, then Haman got in charge. So then these 10 guys were the ones who made sure that they didn't build the Beit HaMikdash. So why these 10 people? We named them because they were involved in making sure that Yerushalayim, that the seat of Jewish power, that the homeland of the Jewish people was not rebuilt. So we want to make sure that we hung them because everyone should know what happened to them and why it happened to them. So again, we read how many times, I've never read this Rashi before, my whole life, I'm reading these 10 guys. Why are we reading about them? Because the Megillah wanted to communicate the idea that until now, the Jewish people would not be permitted to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. But this story was the beginning of the redemption. When the Jewish people return to the Torah, they're able to destroy their enemies. And only that will allow them, the return to the Torah, the return to the mitzvot, and the destruction of their enemies, only that will allow them to overcome and to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the Jewish people as it's supposed to be. Okay, next.
I heard the reason we say it in one breath is because they're all equally as bad, like they're as if they had one bad machine.
I always thought that it's some Kabbalistic thing, but I don't remember. Could be. Yeah, I don't really know. I'll check. I have to check. I don't remember why the reason was. Could be. Okay, 1 second. Yeah. I said, "Bnei Haman ben Hamdata Tzerera Yidim Haragu." They killed these 10 guys. Ubabizar lo shalchu et yadam. But they didn't touch their stuff. Bayomahu ba mispar harugim b'shushana biradik me'amelach. That day, the number of killed came before the king. Bayomah ha'amelach le'aster ha'malka b'shushana birah hargu ha'yudim v'abeis 500 ish. Here in Shushan they killed 500 people. Ve'aser b'nei Haman and the 10 sons of Haman. B'shidar b'dinot ha'melach me'asu. Who knows what they did in the rest of the country. U'ma she'ilatech v'yinaten lach. U'ma bakashatech od v'tayas. What else do you want? Okay? What is the Megillah not telling us? Megillah's leaving out a little bit of important information.
She came to ask for another thing.
She came to ask for something. Now, what do we know about Esther coming to ask for something?
She
the rest of her life.
Very difficult, very dangerous.
It's no small deal. So what's she, let's see what she's asking for. Tamar asks there, Ima la melech tov, yinaten gamachar la yehudim asher b'shushan la'asos kedas hayom. What we'd like is another day. And we'd like to let them hang, leave them for another day. So second said, all right. They strung him up again.
Wait, so you're saying after they killed them,
yes,
she wanted them rehung? Or just to stay them? Because it sounds
it sounds like that Asher Dinei Haman, Talu means,
they were down and let's hang them again?
What? Right. So what happens? He said, okay. Vayikalu la'yudim asher b'shushan gam b'yom arba'asa l'chodesh adar. So they did it. Vayihargu b'shushan shlosh me'ot ish. They killed 300 guys. U'babizah lo shelchu et yadam. They hung them again and they killed 300 more guys. Now,
it's like the battle was over.
Yeah. If they wanted to kill those 300 guys, what, they just ran out of time?
Yeah.
And if it was just a matter of killing those 300 guys, why would they need to go hang the sons of Haman again for another day?
Show that they're in power.
Okay. Moreover, well, let's be honest. Did they need to show they're in power? Moreover, why is this so important?
That she risks her life.
That she risks her life, probably. Doesn't say anything. That she's willing to go to the king and ask for permission. You know, between you and me, the king could say, you know what? Murder and mayhem and rioting is good for a day, but maybe we should stop all of this. She's asking for a lot. Really a lot. It's so important for her to risk it all again to go ask the king permission for another day of Michigan State University. What's that? No, in Shushan. They killed 300 more Shushanites. Shushanites.
Why couldn't they just kill 800 on the first
time? Right, that's what I'm asking you.
They were, that's why when you're on tour and you change up. You change different, you know, masks and everything.
Yeah.
The 300 were disguised. You couldn't find them.
Why did they do that? Let's leave that as an open question. Well, I think it's a very powerful question you have to wonder. We always read it every year. Why in the world do they have a second day? One day, finish, genut. You killed enough people. How many they killed? Let's see. Ushar Yehudim, Tes Zion. This is verse 16. Asher b'yaminidot ha-melech, these other Jews in the king's kingdom. Nikalu v'amod ha-nafsham. They stood for their lives. They defended themselves. V'nuach mo v'hem. They were appeased from their enemies. V'harog v'shonehem. How much did they kill? Chamisha b'shivim elech. 75,000 people. Jeez. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot.
Oof. They didn't touch the stuff. They didn't touch the spoil. 75,000.
Is there any explanation why all these people needed to be killed?
A Malik.
No. It's not. It's very easy. When the decree went out, what do you think happened when the first Purim letter went out, stating that the Jewish people would be annihilated on the 13th day of
gathering.
Like
they killed Jews.
Gathering weapons
and. You want to join the army?
Mr. Stacker, how are you? I just want you to know that I'm going to be the one to kill you when Purim comes around. So if you wouldn't mind, could I look around your house? I need to buy some furniture. I'd just like to see, you know, you'll be dead. Right, you'll be dead, and your house will be available. So we've got a list going, and I signed up for your house. So if you wouldn't mind, could you show me around?
My dog,
yeah, right, great. You know, I'm embellishing a little.
Yeah. English somewhat like that in Germany.
Yeah, sure. You know, get out. Get rid of the Jews. Get rid of the Jews because, you know, they kept the money and they'll take their apartment. And the non-Jews all too often were extremely happy to get rid of their Jews and take over. Mm-hmm. Who told me this? When he came back to his house, maybe it was at Moshe Flat? Who told me this story? What? Nanny told me
my mother's house.
Nanny came back to the story. Nanny came back to the story. Came back to his house, he said, that there was a Polish lady in the house. And she was, there was an axe in the side to chop the wood, and she was living in the house. And he picked up the axe. And he started swinging it. And he said, "You get out of my house." And then he didn't know what he did. He went upstairs. And they had hid in his attic some money and a suit. Some clothing. Nice clothing. So he took a bath for the first time in probably 5 years. And he came down and put the suit. And by the time he came down, she was gone. She called the police. She wasn't happy to see him come back. So you want to know who those 75,000 people were? I bet you there were many times that amount who would have been all too happy to see the Jews go. They're sizing up the neighborhood of Oak Park, you know, driving up and down to see which of the Jewish houses so they could mark them and, you know, have a little lottery to see who gets the, you know, Stocker house. So why these 75,000 people? Those were the ones who most stated their hatred of the Jews and their willingness to kill them. Okay. Yom Shloshasar.
You have a question?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. No. The rabbis say the reason we don't say Hallel on Purim is because the Megillah itself is a form of Hallel.
So it also could be the same reason that you don't say Hallel.
Why, because of all the murder?
On Pesach after the Egyptians drowned.
It's interesting to note that's not why we don't say Hallel on the second days of Pesach. It's the Malachim, the way the rabbis read it, says Bikshu Malachi Hashares Lomar Shira. The Malachim themselves wanted to say Shira, they wanted to say praise to God. So Hashem said, my creations are drowning, and you want to say Shira? This came up, if you recall, when Yasser Arafat died, this whole issue of should we rejoice at the downfall of our enemies? And the vast majority of opinions said, it says, absolutely we rejoice at the downfall of our enemies. Oh, what do you do with that midrash? Sure, God doesn't want angels to celebrate, but what did the Jewish people do? They said, Az Yashir. They gave praise to God, and it's such good praise that we say it every day. So what do you do? Why don't we say full hallel the rest of the days? That has much more to do with the nature of Pesach. That Pesach is really one long holiday. So the first day is full hallel, but the rest are continuation of Pesach. So you don't say a full hallel if the holidays are continuing. What about Sukkot? So you'll notice on Sukkot, there are different sacrifices offered each day. You notice when you say Musaf on Sukkot, it's first day, second day, third day, fourth day, because it's all different. Sukkot was considered each day was a different holiday. And for that reason, you have full hallel on each different day. Whereas on Pesach, you wouldn't. So they say
this. Doesn't have anything to do with how many people
will say. Oh, no. We go crazy on Purim, right? So, no. The rabbi said that the Megillah itself was the praise of God. Which is interesting because God is not mentioned in the Megillah. Mm-hmm. The whole point of Purim being, it's there if you're looking for it. So that the praise of God is there if you're looking for it. Okay. Here we are. Yom 17. You're dying. But Yom Shlosha Asar L'Chodesh Adar. V'Noach Ba'Arba Asar. So that happened on the 13th, and they rested on the 14th day. V'Asar Oso Yom Mishteh V'Simcha. And they made it a day of Mishteh, of partying and rejoicing. V'Yehudim Asher V'Shushan. What about the Jews in Shushan? Nikalu B'Shlosha Asar Bo U'Ba'Ash Ba'Ash Bo. They gathered on the 13th and the 14th. And they made it into a day of celebration and happiness. Okay, therefore, Hayehudim HaPrazim, the Jewish people in the Prazim, in the cities, walled cities, is that what they say?
Unwalled.
In the unwalled cities, thank you, I'm sorry. Hayashvim Ba'arei HaPrazos, they said they are in the unwalled cities. Osim et Yom Arba'asha v'chodesh Adar Simcha Mishteh v'Yom Tov. They make the 14th day a day of celebration. Umishloach manos Israel. Shalach manos. Very good. Vayichto Mordechai. And what do the Jewish people do on the 15th day? What about the people not in the Prazos? In the unwalled cities? In the walled cities?
They celebrated on the 15th.
On the 15th day. Good. Which walled cities?
The
walled
cities in time of
Yeshua. Oh, let's see. Which walled cities? Source number 5. Yoshvim ba'arei ha-prazos, the ones that were sitting in the arei ha-prazos. Mishnah. Krachim ha-mukafim choma. These are cities that were walled. Miyamos Yoshua bin Nun. From the days of Yoshua bin Nun. Kolim b'chamishasar. They read on the 15th day. The Gemara says, why in the world did they decide, this is Yerushalmi, by the way, Jerusalem Talmud, why in the world did they just, the cities walled from the time of Yehoshua bin Nun, what in the world does that have to do with Purim? So they said, Rab Simon b'shem Rab Yehoshua ben Levi, chilku kavod l'Eretz Yisrael. They gave kavod, honor to Eretz Yisrael, shahaysa chareva ba'osa yamin. It was destroyed in that time. V'telu osam yimos b'shur bin Nun. So they said, when did the city have to be walled in order to make it a walled city? Any city that was walled from the time of Yehoshua bin Nun. I asked before, why did Esther make such a big deal that she had to go and make another day of Yom Tov? Why did they decide that they had to kill more Jews in Shushan? Why did they do all of those things?
More Amalek.
What's that?
More enemies.
More enemies. Why did they decide they had to kill more enemies and hang Haman another day? Because they needed to have Shushan Purim. But Shushan Purim is a misnomer. It is not Shushan Purim. What should it really be?
Yerushalayim
Purim. Absolutely correct. Chilku kavod l'Eretz Yisrael. What Mordechai and Esther were doing was saying, diaspora Jewry is great. We have a religion, we're going to keep Purim, it's very nice. What are the cities today that have been walled from the times of Yehoshua bin Nun?
Yerushalayim.
Oh, and Shushan at the time. So they knew Shushan wasn't going to last. But they also knew one day the Jewish people would go back to Israel. It's not Shushan Purim, it's Yerushalayim Purim. So they built in a message to the Jewish people that sure there's Purim for the whole Jewish people, but in Israel it's an entirely different holiday. And in Yerushalayim, where the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be built, it's an entirely different holiday. In a sense, saying that that's really the focus of the holiday. That's really what it's all about. It gets its own special day. And Esther was willing, I think, to risk her life at the instructions of Mordechai in order to bring this about. Because without focusing the Jewish people back on Yerushalayim, what they would have then said was, you know, this is great, we have Purim, you could be a firm Jew in the diaspora, what do we need to go back for? Why do we need to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? I said, no. Never forget. Sure, we have to keep the Torah, and sure, we're the Jewish people, and sure, we have our language, and sure, we have our writing. But we always have to remain focused on Yerushalayim. Focus on where we belong. Focus on the seed of Judaism. Very powerful message.
Well, okay. Why did they have to say walled and unwalled? Why couldn't they just say Yerushalayim?
Who's reading this?
Ahasuerus.
Everything is hidden in the Megillah. None of the things I'm telling you are there, right? Like Yehuda, Ma'aseh, Arub, Simcha, Mitzvah, Tzadik, right?
Ahasuerus is the big part.
It's not, right, it's all the big part.
Very well.
Yeah, very carefully. They wrote this very carefully, brilliantly.
There's no other cities that meet that requirement.
Today, there might be a couple in Israel. But I'm not aware of any city in exile that keeps the second day. Are you? Anybody? Other than Yerushalayim?
Well,
they might say the old, there are old cities, you know, Yericho, Jericho, maybe.
Shushan.
Okay, find it. Yeah. Ask Saddam.
China.
What?
Yeah.
China, there was. Great Wall of China was built like in 900. Much later. Much, much, much later. Maybe earlier. When was it built?
It's around that time.
Around 900. Wow. Can't believe I knew that. Okay. Okay.
Why does it say Vayichtov Hashem
Hazav? Vayichtov Mordechai here? At Advarim Ayla?
Yeah.
Because he wrote it.
No,
what's it supposed to say?
Why does it say isn't that in the plural?
No, Vayichtovu would be in the plural. Vayichtov means and the who katav and who wrote. That's right, that's good. Vayichtov Mordechai had very mainly, wrote it down. Vayishlach el kol ha-yudim asher b'chol medinat not ha-melech ha-chash ve-rosh ha-krovim ha-rechokim. He sent it to all the Jewish people. Lekayem aleihem, decree to them. Liyos osim es yom ha-arba'a l'chodesh adar v'es yom ha-chamisha asarbo b'chol shana v'shana. 14th day and the 15th day. Kayamim asher nachu b'hem ha-yudim me-oidayhem. Like the days that they rested. Meaning they should celebrate the same way they celebrated in the first year. And the month that turned from anguish to yontif, right? Celebration, party, right? Gifts to the poor, and also sending them to Chachmanas. V'kibel ha-Yehudim eis asher hecheru la'asos. Blanche, what should it say? There, you, now you should comment. V'kibel ha-Yehudim eis asher hecheru la'asot.
Kablu.
Right. V'kibel, it should say kiblu, good. V'eit asher katam Mordechai. So the Jewish people accepted it. So why does it say it in a singular? What do you think? Right, they acted as one person. They acted in a united fashion. One second. What pasuk is that? Kibel Yehudim says the Midrash. It's interesting. The Zohar writes, when Moshe Rabbeinu came and accepted the Torah, he was accepting the Torah for the Jewish people. The Ihu Kabil Oraita Be'alma, he accepted the Torah. The Afilu Megillas Esther. The Moshe even accepted Megillas Esther. What do you do with that one? I just want to throw that one out for you. Okay. Well, so that's why it says the Kibel. Why did I say the Kibel in the singular? Because it was talking about Moshe.
He was on a first name basis with that.
Man. Yeah, all right. Chav Dalin. I'm running out of time, right? I'm running out of time.
Five minutes.
Uh-oh. Haman wanted, he tried to destroy them, but he peeled poor who are going to know him about them. What?
You just see all the
first. Yeah, I did. And he had a poor. What's a poor? A lottery. Ubububah, b'fnei ha-melech. Amar yom ha-sefer, yeshu machshavto ha-ra'ah. Asher chashav al yudim al rosho. V'talu oto v'edbanav al eitz. So when he came before the king, with his, they said to return his evil thoughts that he went through the Jewish people, and they hung him on a tree. Al kein karu la yamim ha-ela purim. Why they called it Purim? Why? Hashem HaPur. It was called Purim because of the poor, the lot. Al Kain Al Kodi Ve HaIgeret Hazot, based on all the things that are in this letter, in this Megillah. Umara Ukacha Ma'igi Alehim. So there's irony, by the way, for those who understand, there's irony in the name Purim. The whole name is a joke. It's called Purim, it's called Lottery Day. Where in reality, we don't believe in lotteries. We don't believe in fate. We don't believe in chance. Haman believed in chance. So what do? We name it Day of Chance. Because the whole thing is upside down. And it's really not a day of chance. So it's called the exact opposite of what it's really supposed to be. It's a little wacky. Okay. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleyah v'al-zaram v'al-nivil ma'ayhem v'lo ya'avor, they accepted and they fulfilled not to transgress. Li'yot osim eshnei ha'yamim ha'ela kichtavam v'chizmanam, to do these Purim days. V'chol shana v'shana. So the Jewish people accepted. They accepted Purim. The Gemara says, a very famous Gemara that you must be literate about, must be aware of. The Gemara says they didn't just accept Purim. Rather, they accepted something else. What else did they accept? Anybody know? How do you know that?
Rabbi
Sidi. Oh! They accepted the Torah. But I already showed you, so I'm trying to show you. I showed you already that the Torah, the acceptance of the Torah, the renewal of the Jewish people's faith in the Torah, is a theme that runs throughout, underlying the whole Megillah, really, and especially at the end. So look at this very famous Gemara, very important Gemara you should be aware of. Source number 7, page 2. The Torah says that when the Jewish people, and God gave the Jewish people the Torah, they stood at the bottom of the mountain. But what does batachtit really mean? You've seen this before. I think I've even showed you this before. A very famous Gemara. Amar Rav Dimi bar Chama bar Chasa. Right? Okay. Melamed, he teaches us, Shekafa Arlo Kadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Har Kegigis. God took the mountain like a gigis. Like a beer keg. He hold it over them, v'amar lahem. And he says to them, if you accept the Torah, mutav. If you accept the Torah, great. V'im lav, and if not, shantei kvurashchem. I'll drop it.
Squashed.
So, time you can ask me about this Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Ravacha bar Yaakov, so Ravacha Yaakov says, Mikan Moda'a Rabba Le'oraisa. If that's true, that's an incredible indictment of the Torah. You know, because David Kenneth Hurd could raise his son Max, and he's going to say, you've got to be a Jewish person. Why, Daddy? I don't want him. Because the Jewish people accepted the Torah at Mount Sinai. Fine, they did, but God forced them to. He forced it on us. I don't want it.
Nothing to free will.
Good point. What happened to free will? Gemara says, "I'm a rabba apal pikein." Nonetheless, hadar kabluha bimei achashverosh. They accepted it again in the times of achashverosh. Yechshiv, as it says, kimu v'kiblu hayehudim. Kimu means they fulfilled, and kiblu means they accepted. Very famous language. Kimu mashikiblu kvar. They fulfilled that which they had accepted before. That when the Jewish people accepted the holiday of Purim, they now, nobody's forcing them. The Jewish people are on top of the world. No persecution, no anti-Semitism. You're in control. Do you want to be Jewish or do you not? Do you want to act like a Jew and live like a Jew and behave like a Jew or don't you? And they said, yes, we do. Kimu mashikim lukvar. They now fulfilled that which they had accepted beforehand. They didn't just accept Purim. They accepted the Torah as well. And now we're stuck because they accepted it on free will. Sorry, man.
Is that a bad thing?
That's a great thing. But, okay. Let's fly. Let's finish it up. Vayamim chachad. Vayamim elin nishkabim v'nasim b'chol dor v'dor. They remembered every and every generation. Mishpacha v'mishpacha. Midina midina v'ir v'ir. Families and nations and cities. V'imei aprim ha'ilu lo yavu mitol chayudim. Will never be lost. V'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. And they're never going to be annulled. The Midrash says, I don't have source number 4, you can look it up. Even in the times of Mashiach, they'll always celebrate Purim. What that tells you is that it has great significance. Great, great significance. That they'll celebrate, we'll remember Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt. We're not even sure if we're going to remember Egypt because Mashiach is going to be great, so fantastic, it'll be redemption. What are we going to remember?
Purim.
Why Purim? Now you know why Purim. Because Purim was the rededication of the Jewish people and their dedication to the Torah. Nobody forced them. They accepted it on their own. Because they understood what it meant that if you're gonna be a Jewish people, you can't just be a Jewish person by smearing a bagel on Sunday morning. Even with lox. You're gonna be a Jewish person, Ora Vashimcha Vasasan Vikar. Tfilin Shal Rosh, Tfilin Shal Yad, and Tzitzis. You're going to look like a Jew. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb. You're not going to be able to eat in restaurants with your coworkers. You're going to have to take off Shabbos and they're going to give you dirty looks. But you're going to be a Jew. And that's what it means. But tichtov Esther Amalka Basar Bichal Uvodcha Yehudi et kol tokath lakayemet igeret ha-purim hazorot ha-shenit. And they use their force. But the Midrash says, I'm running out of time, but there was the Chachamim were not too happy about making Purim because they felt that it was rubbing in the nose of the non-Jews. But they said, no, you've got to do it. It must be celebrated every year. And by the way, when the rabbis don't want to do things, it's pretty hard to force them to do it. So that's the Mordechai, you know, they are forced. They sent out words of shalom ve'emet, of peace and truth. Interesting words. Can't stop on them now. Running out of time. To fulfill the dance of Purim, kashir ki yamal e'mordechai ha'yudi v'asher malka. As Mordechai and Esther did, B'kasher Kiyuma Amachsharam Balzaram Divrei Atzamot V'Zakatam. The days of fasting and their cries. U'ma'amar Esther Kiyam Divrei Akurim Ha'ele V'Nichtab HaSefer was written in the book. Chapter 10 is like the wrap-up. V'yashe Amal Melech HaShmirosh Masar Kol Arz V'yei. Ami made a tax. V'chol Ma'asei Takvo. And now we get into the history, right? Now we're going to find out Achashverosh, right? V'chol Ma'asei Takvo Gvurato. And all the greatness and the strength of Achashverosh with Parashat Gedulo Mordechai. Asher Gido HaMelech, you want to know about Mordechai? Halohem Ketuvim Moshe Ever Divrei Aramim Malchei Paras HaMadai. Go look it up in the history books of Persia and Medea. Anybody see the history books of Persia and Medea? Right.
I lost my Alexander.
Yeah, you lost it. It's gone. The Megillah is still with us. You want to know about Achashverosh?
Fine.
Esther's story. Ki Mordechai Yehudi. Very incredible line. Mishnah of Achashverosh, second in command. The Gadol LeYehudim, greater the Jews. The Ratzui LeRov Echad. Doresh Tov La'amo, V'dover Shalom L'chol Zaro. He was Doresh Tov La'amo, he was seeking good for his nation, V'dover Shalom L'chol Zaro, spoke peace to all of his children. What words I skipped over, you might have noticed, I skipped over unbelievable words in the last pasuk. That should call out to you. Anybody know? No words call out to you that are unusual or interesting? Anybody know? Ratsui l'rov echad. What does Ratsui l'rov echad mean? Ratsui l'rov echad means How do they translate it?
Popular with the multitude of his brethren.
Popular with the multitude of his brethren. That is not what it means. That's what you have in the scroll, too?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So what
is it? The desire of most of his...
Popular, what does the word rove mean?
Most.
Most. Popular with most of his brothers. Which means?
Not all of them.
He wasn't popular with everyone.
Some people didn't like him.
That's a surprise.
Right, so what you say, so what one Midrash says, you can't win them all. There's always going to be somebody who doesn't like you. No matter what you do, you could save the Jewish people, and people are going to say, you know, come on, can you do it differently? You can't win them all. The Midrash says, lo b'chav lo cholachav. Why? Olamet shepirshu mimen and mitzah Sanhedrin. Some of the people of Sanhedrin separated from him. Why? V'bishabatam idivrei Torah v'nichlas l'shrara. After he saved the Jewish people, he should have quit and gone back to teaching Torah. He didn't belong. Should not have taken that position. It's very interesting that they said some people felt that he should not have taken the position. What I wanted to say, we're going from Purim to Pesach. We're about to enter the idea of Pesach. Purim is a time of, on the face of it, rejoicing and salvation and physical salvation of the Jewish people. But in reality, the physical salvation was only the symptom. What was more important was the spiritual salvation, that they were somehow able to communicate to them that without the Torah and without the mitzvot, the Jewish people aren't worth having anyway. And they had to somehow convince the Jewish people, you need Torah, and you need mitzvahs, and you need to focus on the idea that we belong in Israel. You need to understand that we have to rebuild the Jewish people. That there is a redemption to hope for. That there's going to be not a Shushan Purim, a Yerushalayim Purim. And there's no better message to enter Pesach with. And we keep the Torah, and we keep the mitzvahs, but we don't belong in Oak Park. That there's a Shushan Purim, there's a Yerushalayim Purim. At the end of the Seder, we're going to say, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, that we shouldn't be having a Seder in Oak Park, Michigan. We should be bringing the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, in Yerushalayim as a people united in one. Hope you all enjoyed.
Sure.
Okay.